yesterday's attacks on another.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
When is the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan going to end? That's a tricky question perhaps no one, even in the highest levels of political and military leadership of the United States, can answer. The conflict has turned into an unending war of attrition, the longest war the U.S. has ever fought in its history, and there is still no end in sight. These days, after 17 years of war, the U.S. hardly ever talks about an exit strategy. U.S. military planners are struggling to make sense of what's really happening on the ground in Afghanistan. America has failed spectacularly to defeat the Taliban militant group. That was one of the main goals of U.S.-led Afghan war when it began in October 2001.
These carefully targeted actions are designed to disrupt the use of Afghanistan as a terrorist base of operations and to attack the military capability of the Taliban regime.
17 years on, Taliban remain a formidable fighting force. But who are the Taliban? How are the militants able to develop their military capabilities in the first place? How have they managed to continue to recruit over the past decades? The Taliban militant group is seen as the result of American policy in Afghanistan, run amok like in many other places around the world. It all began at the height of the Cold War in the 1980s, when the United States came to the conclusion that it cannot allow the Soviet Union to remain in Afghanistan. So, the U.S. launched a massive covert operation to provide local Afghan forces with weapons, ammunition, training, and cash. America also encouraged extremist forces from other regional countries to come to Afghanistan and joined the battle to force the Soviets to withdraw.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia, and we went to work.
The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency and its Pakistani counterpart, the Inter-Services Intelligence Directorate, were deeply involved in the clandestine program. The operation turned the tide of the conflict against the Soviets. They suffered heavy losses in Afghanistan, with roughly 15,000 of their soldiers killed there. The Soviet military lost well over 400 aircraft in Afghanistan. They were mostly brought down by the U.S.-made Stinger missiles. When the Soviets pulled out, the United States abandoned the mess in Afghanistan, and that paved the way for the rise of the Taliban militant group. What's known as Taliban today was among the same forces that the United States heavily supported.
And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize.
The Afghan war has seen several U.S. administrations come and go. Each of them repeatedly pledged to win the war and bring all U.S. troops home.
Now, many of our troops are returning from Afghanistan. And on Monday, I'll be proud to help welcome them home. That's because this month, our combat mission in Afghanistan will be over. Our war in Afghanistan is coming to a responsible end.
But the United States is not even close to winning the war militarily, and the goal today seems harder to achieve than ever before. Meanwhile, a long list of challenges are facing the Afghan nation. The deteriorating security situation has allowed extremists, even more dangerous and ruthless than the Taliban, to find a foothold. The Daesh terrorist group is now emerging as another major threat on Afghan soil. Afghanistan's opium production is another crisis. It has worsened dramatically since the start of the war. There have been allegations that America's Central Intelligence Agency is running a global network of drug trafficking out of Afghanistan. Critics blame this complicated web of problems on the fact that the U.S. has kept shifting strategies for 17 years without identifying what the underlying problems are.
So we know who we're fighting? No, that wasn't. Do we know what really the goals are? No. So we don't know when the war is going to end. So do we need more troops? Well, we did have a time when we had a lot of troops in there, and now we don't have so many, and some people argue that we need some more. But it goes on and on because I don't think they address the real matter, and that is what is the purpose, and should we be surprised that we're not winning the war?
Successive U.S. administrations have been looking for an effective military approach to bring the Taliban militant group to its knees, but they have failed. U.S. President Donald Trump is no exception. He has increased the level of U.S. forces in the war-torn country by several thousands. Trump insists piling pressure on the militant group while setting no clear exit timetable will yield results. U.S. foreign policy critics insist changing militaristic approaches or war commanders will lead the U.S. nowhere.
I mean, it's, 17, 18 years, and this is the 18th commander.
18th commander.
And this commander that is being relieved, he was there the longest of any of them. He was there almost 2 years now. But now we got to get somebody that's an expert in special operation. They need an expert in history. Yeah. That's what they need.
That's it.
Taliban militants have stepped up their attacks nationwide. They have taken control of key areas around the country and threatened to take more. The findings of a study released in June show Taliban have established a sophisticated system of parallel governance in many provinces. The study shows the militant group has vast influence in many areas of public service, such as health, justice, and finance. The study warns that the group is practically preparing to govern Afghanistan again. This is seen as further proof that the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan is failing. Before taking office, U.S. President Donald Trump was an outspoken critic of U.S. militarism overseas, especially in Afghanistan. Under Trump, the U.S. military has escalated the use of heavy bombs and airstrikes against militant targets. But that's not working.
It isn't working at all. The security situation in Afghanistan has worsened considerably. And the suffering of our people has increased considerably. It is exactly because of this that there is a lot of cry loud in Afghanistan for change.
The escalated use of airstrikes has been widely blamed for rising anti-U.S. sentiments in Afghanistan, boosting the Taliban's ability to recruit.
The accelerated rate of airstrikes and military attacks by the U.S. and its Afghan allies proxies has been matched by the Taliban. Of course it is. Of course more violence leads to more violence. It's only predictable, inevitable.
The security situation is worsening by the day. The number of Afghan civilians killed in the first half of 2018 has hit a record high. Today, the Taliban control or contest over 40% of Afghanistan. That's 177 out of 407 Afghan districts. This is leaving little doubt that the U.S. has been fighting a futile war. There are reports of meetings taking place between U.S. officials and representatives of the Taliban. America, stuck in an unending war, has expressed great interest in negotiating with the militant group. In the past, such meetings have been held in Afghanistan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. Observers believe it's a major embarrassment for the United States to be sitting down for talks with the same militants it's been fighting for 17 years. The U.S. willingness to talk to the Taliban is seen as a sign that Trump's new strategy is not making much of a difference on the ground. Meanwhile, the government in Kabul says it is ready to talk to the militants anywhere in Afghanistan. It even implemented a unilateral ceasefire last month to pave the way for peace talks. But Taliban say they want a complete withdrawal of U.S. forces before they permanently put down their arms.
As far as the Taliban is concerned, that is the agenda for the discussion. It's just, when are you going to leave?
Many problems in Afghanistan, like insecurity and economic hardship, have their roots in decades of foreign intervention by major powers. Foreign intervention has proved futile in resolving the crisis in the war-torn country. What's become obvious now is that the Afghan problem needs an Afghan solution.